This evening, Lord willing, we're going to finish the book of Proverbs. I was asked, are we going to go to Ecclesiastes? And after the first of the year, yes, on Wednesday nights, we will be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 31, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, the message is entitled, Wise Words About Wine and Women. Wise Words About Wine and Women. The book of Proverbs, in kind of a sense, is like a literary trinity. There are three parts, yet it's one whole. The first part, chapters 1 through 9, is a series of short sermons. The second part, chapters 10 through 29, is short statements, wise words to live by. But then we come to the third part, chapters 30 and 31. Chapter 30 are the words of a man named Agur. I don't know who he is. There are a lot of speculations as to who he might be, but God knows, and God determined that his words, Agur's words, were so God-breathed that they needed to be included in the canon of Scripture, and we are so blessed to have them. We studied that last week. Tonight is chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, specifically things that his mother taught him. Well, as you read through the Old Testament in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you never come across a dude named Lemuel. Don't know who he was. His name means belonged to God, but we don't know who he was. There are some who suggest that Lemuel was Bathsheba's pet name for her son Solomon. Lemuel, again, means belonging to God. And while Solomon was indeed God's choice to succeed his father David, yet at the end of Solomon's life, Solomon chose to not be wholly devoted to God, but instead decided to follow after his own heart. And after learning that following your heart leads to vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity, he then writes the book of Ecclesiastes, to say, here's the sum total of what it means to follow after one's own heart. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So Solomon, at the end of his life, chose not to really belong to God, especially when it came to women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, women legally joined to him, with whom he could make babies, but yet did not have the status of wife. But then again, the other wives of Solomon really didn't have much status either. In his latter years, Solomon, we read, was not loyal to God and began to worship the gods of his foreign wives. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11, therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. So was Lemuel a pet name for Solomon, or was he somebody else? We don't know. But it is indeed sad that Solomon did not heed the advice of his mother. He did not look for a Proverbs 31 woman, but instead behave more like the Proverbs 30, verse 2, man, which says, surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. That's what happens when you follow after your heart as opposed to the clear teaching of the Word of God. Well, here in chapter 31, verses 1 through 9, we're told, don't drink, but defend the downtrodden. Don't drink, Mama tells Lemuel, but defend the downtrodden. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And now here's Mama speaking, what, my son? What, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? You really need to read it with a female Jewish accent when you read this part. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? The son of my vows? Apparently, young King Lemuel was asking his mom some questions about women, but not good questions. Maybe questions like, what's wrong with pursuing lots of women? What's wrong with marrying many foreign women? To what, which his mother said, what, the son of my womb? Why would my own son even consider that which will destroy him? It's not for you. He says, do not, verse 3, give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. And in this chapter, we're going to read about two things, two big things that can destroy a king, and by the way, any other man. And those two things are wine and wicked women, or alcohol or drugs for that matter, and wicked women. Now, if Lemuel was really Solomon, then apparently he didn't listen to his mama, did he? Because Solomon did give his strength and his ways to the party scene, and also to many women, including foreigners. And in giving his heart to that which God forbade, Solomon also gave away God's blessings. And there's a big lesson here. We too forfeit God's blessings if we pursue what God forbids. We forego his blessings if we pursue what he forbids. So in verse 4, Mama tells Lemuel, and he writes it down, it is not for you. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Now, at the end of Solomon's life, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon laments over giving himself to wine and other fleshly indulgences, and he will again say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's like trying to grasp oil and trying to chase after the wind. Alcohol and drugs hinder brain function and cloud one's sense of judgment. In Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. So somebody's out there chasing the drink, chasing the party scene. They're fools. They're unwise because they are no longer in full control of their minds and their cognitive thinking. And if you have a place of importance, and you men, if you're fathers, you have an extremely high place of importance and great responsibility. It is not for you to become drunk or to become high for that matter, because your kids need you to think and reason and have full cognitive capabilities. Your wife needs you to be thinking straight, not thinking stupid. Now, is wine good for someone? Oh, yeah. In verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing. So someone's on their deathbed and there's no hope. Alleviate their pain. That's what it's for. And wine to those who are bitter of heart, those who have no hope, those who are hopeless. Okay, fine. Drown your sorrows. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So apparently, Mama tells Lemuel, alcohol and other intoxicants are for those who are on their deathbed and for those who have no hope. But you know what? You and I, we always have hope in Jesus Christ, a hope that is sure. That's why in Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We've confessed Jesus. He's our hope. We're headed for heaven. And so we are to walk through this life sober-minded, redeeming the time because the days are evil, holding fast to the hope that Jesus is coming back for us soon and very soon. And when you and I have Jesus, we don't need some cheap alcoholic substitute. So Lemuel, Mama says, don't drink lest you pervert justice. And in fact, you need to be on your A game so that you can administer true justice. Verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless. Those who don't have a voice, you be their voice. and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Stand up for them. Give them true justice. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Become a voice for the oppressed. Stand up and do the right thing. And if you find yourself in a position of authority or leadership, these are good words for us to do. Do not cater to special interest groups, whether they be in the local church or in the government. Do not take bribes from lobbyists. Do what's right by God, which will be right by God's people. So Lemuel's mom warned him, do not be led astray by wine or other intoxicants. In the next section, she urges him to find a good woman, for she knew that a wicked woman would become his downfall. And so in the next section, in verses 10 through 31, Mama tells Lemuel, what is marriage material? Here's marriage material. Now, if you're single, if you're a guy, these are the things that you should be looking for in a wife. If you're a girl, good luck with that. No, these are some things you should also be looking for in a man as well. Who can find, verse 10, a virtuous wife? The original VW, virtuous wife. Like that? Who can find her? For her worth is far above rubies. Interesting. Rubies. He doesn't go for diamonds. I know diamonds are a girl's best friend. But the Jews, especially in biblical time, valued rubies as the most precious gemstone of all. By the way, don't tell Amanda, but she might be getting some ruby earrings for Christmas. Just saying. Her worth is far above rubies. Now, Lemuel's mom told her son that a virtuous wife was even more precious, more valuable than the rare ruby, hard to find. But the man who finds a virtuous wife will be blessed indeed. First of all, he's not worried about her. He does not become jealous of her because she gives him no reason to be. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he can spend time at work as opposed to coming home to check up on her. So he will have no lack of gain. You know, the man who trusts his wife is not checking up on her all the time, because she's a virtuous wife. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So the virtuous wife is not a self-seeker, but is a husband blesser. Virtuous husband, by the way, is not a self-seeker. He's a wife blesser. Notice what she does. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So yeah, she's crafty, but in arts and crafts. You like that? And she makes a lot of useful things. She's handy. She's skilled. Maybe she's a good cook. Maybe she's a good homemaker. She is crafty. She's like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She searches far and wide for food through the aisles of Kroger and Super Walmart or wherever, or Aldi occasionally, to get the best deals. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she has influence over other ladies. You know, I hope you don't find this a little odd, but if I could brag on my wife a little bit, that lady has spent many nights staying up late and rising up early to prepare for Bible studies, for women's Bible studies and women's events. And you ladies are lucky to have her. She's my VW, virtuous wife. She considers a field and buys it. She dabbles a little bit in real estate. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. So she's into gardening. Blesses the family with that. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She works out. She keeps herself healthy and in shape. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She works hard and long into the night. See, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. This is the weaving implements and how you make yarn and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. You can just go to the fabric store and buy what you want or go anywhere and just buy your clothes. But this lady, the virtuous woman, is diligent. She works hard. She also, verse 20, extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. The virtuous wife is socially concerned, and she's active in charity work, wants to bless people. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. So not just with woolens and long underwear, but even nice things, because she has done a great job to prepare her family for the winter time. The virtuous wife wisely knows that hard times will come. This will. So she makes hay while the sun shines, and she stores up and puts away money for a rainy day. She's smart. She thinks about the future and makes good plans. She makes tapestry for herself. So it's kind of like she does a few things for herself, blesses herself with some pretty things that she makes. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So this is obviously a very industrious woman, because purple was extremely rare. The dye to make purple clothing, extremely rare, extremely valuable. This gal has it going on here. So she makes drapes, curtains, tablecloths, quilts, etc. But what about her husband? What's he doing? I like this next part. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Lazy bum. No, actually, the elders know who this guy is because his wife is so virtuous. They're like, oh, you're married to her, you lucky dog. And one of the things I cannot stand, I don't hear it really of any Christian, but sometimes in the world, I'll hear guys run down their wives. Or I'll hear women run down their husbands, say negative things about them. Oh, you know, that old ball and chain. Or the lady, all my husband ever wants is. And I think, how foolish. And so they give the reputation that the wife is not good or the husband is not good. The wise woman builds her house, we read in Proverbs, but the foolish one tears it down with her hands. We should always be our spouse's best cheerleaders, our best fans, fanatics, as we cheer our spouses on. And this woman is virtuous, and her husband's been bragging on her, and everybody knows who this guy's wife is. And so there he is, sitting in the gates, the place where they made important decisions and transacted legal affairs and the buying and selling of property and deciding court cases and all. And there he is there making these important decisions. Verse 24 goes on to say, she makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. So she's a community organizer. She's an economic leader. She's ambitious, industrious. Strength and honor are her clothing. It's not about wearing the latest fashion. It's not about wearing what those other women on the runway wear. It's not about the jewelry and the expensive stuff. What she wears is strength and honor. She's an honorable woman, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she works hard today to provide well for tomorrow. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and this is cool, on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's a nice lady who says nice, encouraging, kind things. She speaks the truth, but always in love. When you leave her presence, you don't feel like you've been put in your place. Feel like you've been propped up. She watches, verse 27, over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Or loosely translated, she doesn't sit on the couch watching soap operas and eating bonbons. Y'all be quiet, I'm watching my stories. Pass me those Krispy Kremes, would you please? That's not her. Now her children, notice, they rise up and call her blessed. They love their mama. And her husband also, and he praises her. And here's the praise of the husband to his virtuous wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You're the best, baby. The Proverbs 31 woman is truly praiseworthy. And notice how her husband responds. He praises his wife. He praises her. We all deal with doubts about ourselves. But wives are oftentimes more targeted by the enemy, more assailed with doubts than even men are. A wise husband will understand this. And a wise husband will be his wife's protector. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Eve began speaking to the serpent, had that horrible conversation with the devil, eventually it says, saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, good for food, and desirable to make one wise, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She took of the fruit, ate it, gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. Where was Adam when Eve was talking to the serpent there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Where was he? With her. It's with her. Why didn't he cut the head of the snake off? Why didn't he rip out a chainsaw and hack that thing to pieces? Why did he let it happen? And he knew what was happening. We read in the New Testament, the woman was deceived, but the man was not. She was actually tricked by Satan to believe that if she ate the fruit, she would become like God. Adam all along knew if we eat the fruit, we're going to die. But his inactivity is worthy of him being judged. His failure to do anything to protect his wife is what got us into this mess. She's at fault, he's at great fault. When God created Adam, or when God created Eve, he caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. And then he took a bone, not from his head, that she would dominate him, not from his feet, that he would trample her, but from his side, to be equal with him, and under his arm, that he might shadow and protect her. It's the role of the husband, to be the wife's protector, to be the wife's encourager, especially when Satan comes along and lies. It is not the husband's job to complain about how things should be different. And if the husband does that, then he needs to start fixing what he doesn't like. But do not run your wife down. You're tearing yourself down in the long run. So the husband, he praises, the virtuous husband praises his wife. And that's a big part of husbands. Love your wife as Christ also loves the church. So the virtuous wife is praiseworthy, and the smart husband praises her for her praiseworthiness. Verse 30, charm is deceitful. It's not about your reputation and what you hope people see and think of you. That's the world, isn't it? They are so concerned about outward appearances, what people think, what people see. The real you is hidden, but yet you have this facade. That's the world. Well, that's charm and it's deceitful. And beauty is passing. Lemuel's mom tells her son, look beyond the packaging and consider the contents. Quit looking at the outside, look to the inside. Charm and beauty are facades that will fade away. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us all how cruel time and gravity are. They are cruel and relentless. I feel so sorry for those who put such importance on outward appearances, spending so much money going through such torturous activities trying to undo the inevitable. And rarely, if ever, do they get the results they want and the praise and the attention they seek. Here you have four ladies before plastic surgery and after plastic surgery. Boy, did they regret trying to undo the inevitable. So charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord. The man who fears the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we too shall be praised. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So Lemuel, when you're looking for a wife, you look for this type of a woman here. Particularly one who fears God, who puts God first in all things. And so, if you know of any single men, or if you're single here tonight, I think we've got one guy here single. If you find a virtuous woman, and if she has a momentary lapse of judgment and decides to marry you anyway, next piece of advice, avoid being a control freak. Avoid it. Notice, give her the fruit of her hands. Enable her to do what she's good at. Give her the money she needs, the stuff she needs. Let her blossom and bloom. Let her be industrious. And let her own works praise her in the gates. There are some men who are insecure, and they don't want their wives to be successful because they feel like, you know, well, then they're not. Well, with all the grace and tenderness I might be able to muster tonight, let me say, guys, get over yourself. If you've married up, don't resent it. Embrace it. Because her success will mean your success. Her thriving will mean your blessing. Give her the fruit of her hands. Turn her loose. Let her do what she does best, and then her own works will praise her in the gates. People will be like, wow, you're a lucky dude to have married that lady. And now we come to the end of the book of Proverbs. It'll be after Christmas. We will again pick up in the Old Testament here on Wednesday nights and begin the book of Ecclesiastes. So it's not a very long book, but it is a fascinating book. Again, Solomon, toward the end of his life, writes about what his conclusions are regarding a life that pursues the flesh. He was the wealthiest man. God had given him supernatural wisdom, the wisest man on the earth. And he thought, okay, well, let's see how far this flesh will take me. I'm going to indulge in my flesh and hold nothing back. I'm going to look at everything, listen to everything, try everything, and see where it takes me. And again, he winds up, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So fascinating book. You might want to read ahead for next time. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you, Lord, for this time when we can gather together in your word. Lord, I pray for all the ladies here tonight and the married ladies, and Lord, as we've read through these things, maybe they're thinking, I don't do that, I don't do that. But you know, Lord, it doesn't matter. I really believe what matters is the want to. I want to be the virtuous wife. And for us men, we want to be a virtuous husband. We want to be men of God. We want to honor you, Lord. We want it to not be about our reputation, but about our character. We don't want to be lazy and selfish. We want to be industrious for the benefit and blessing of others. One thing I notice in this is that the virtuous wife does what she does to bless her husband and her kids. It's not about herself. It's not about her own brand. It's not that she's seeking for glory in the gates. It's just that it happens because she's seeking to bless her husband, her kids, and ultimately to bless you. Lord, what a great attitude. That's what I want for me, for all of us, Lord. That we would be all about honoring you, about blessing our families, and even our household of faith here at Calvary Chapel Bartlett. So help us, Lord, to go forth and be diligent and to do whatever it is you called us to do. May we serve you well with excellence. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. You may want to go rescue, if you have your children here, you might want to go rescue the workers in the children's ministry. So have a good evening.